This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Whenever I think of cities that are run by the left, I always think about the amazing strategies that they go to try to achieve their utopian vision, including telling businesses when to close as a way to curb crime. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Facebook.com/Zioli Show, 1210WPHC.com/Rich. First of all, thank you if you came out last night to join us at Chappaquiddick. I so appreciate it. I hope you know that. I hope I shook your hand. I think I shook everybody's hand last night as I came into the theater as we left. It was a lot of fun. I just enjoy the company of the Zioli Army so much. It was great and took a lot of great pictures. It was really fun. So I met Gabrielle, who is officially the youngest member of the Zioli Army at 19 years old. So there you go, bringing down our numbers there. Dan, who has the Zioli Army tattoo on his arm, which says Zioli Army. Rich, Dawn, and Greg, you guys both made the tattoo.
Wow.
Nice. I also was given last night a very old copy of Life magazine to sign for two of our dear listeners, and I signed the back of it so I wouldn't destroy their beautiful Life magazine. And a Volkswagen ad was given to me by a gentleman who, this ad, Volkswagen, it's amazing, it's actually true, had a thing where it says if Ted Kennedy was driving a Volkswagen, Mary Jo would still be alive today. It was an ad they published in a magazine, only ran once. Volkswagen wound up apologizing for it. And then I also last night got to meet a gentleman on the way out. This guy's standing there. He's got a cowboy hat on. He says to me, he goes, "You know, I didn't get you at first."
Oh, boy.
That's what he said. He goes, "I didn't get you at first." And I said, "Okay." He goes, "Now I can't stop listening to you." I go, "Well, thank you. That's great." So it is a little bit, sometimes you got to warm up. You know what I mean? It's like a little, and then it's really like a virus. You can't get rid of me at that point. You know what I mean? It's really
the Zioli like, virus.
Yeah, it's like the Zioli virus. You can't get rid of it. It's just, it's not going to go away.
You can try creams and whatever.
It's not shots. It's not, you're going to carry around that like luggage for the rest of your life. But I was very grateful, and it's so nice to see wonderful people. And Lou, our buddy Lou from Garden State Earthworks, he and his beautiful wife, Trish, they were just so gracious last night. A guy needed a seat. He was getting surgery on his leg, and they gave it up for him, and they sat in the first row. Just so nice and so gracious that they sponsored the event. Next time we do it, I think I'll probably speak to the crowd. I forgot about the damn trailers that they do. You know, they show movie trailers. The trailers are actually longer than the movie now. So the movie's supposed to start at 7:30. The trailers end at 9:15. And then the movie starts, and it's over at 10. So I wanted to address everybody, but I couldn't. Even with a megaphone, I wouldn't have been able to talk over the trailer. But next time we'll do it, we'll do something like that, and we'll do a little Q&A and kind of a meet-and-greet thing. But I appreciate you coming last time. It was a lot of fun. We will do it again for sure. And thank you for pushing us to do it. Those of you in the Zioli Army who kept at it until we did it. So thank you. All right. See, what I always find fascinating about the left is that they always want to recreate society in their image, right? They always want to do this in their image. And if you cross them, you will pay. So Facebook will have their standards, and they will crack down on you if you violate their standards in a big, big way. If you cross their standards, you'll be censored. And soon, Congress will get in on the game by codifying, I think, a national hate speech law, which is not too far down the pike. But there's also local policies that have to happen on the local level. For example, safe injection sites in Philadelphia. It's one of Jim Kenney's visions. But far beyond that was the soda tax, which was not only a way to bring in revenue, but a way to get you to stop drinking sugary sodas, which they say is bad for you. The left loves trans fats bans and salt warnings and on and on and on. And they love gun laws. They love gun laws. They love to find all kinds of ways to make it more difficult for you to get a firearm. But that doesn't really do anything about crime, though. You see, that's the problem. All of these nutty lefty policies don't actually address crime, so then they have to go a step further. For example, in Baltimore, where they've had a wave of violence recently, and they have some of the strictest gun laws in the nation, they have now decided, after 29 murders, okay, 29 murders this year, the violence has surged again in Baltimore. So Mayor Catherine Pugh has taken to the streets to visit some local businesses, and her suggestion is that businesses need to close earlier. She went into one convenience store and she asked them what time the store closed. The owner responded that they closed at 11:30. The mayor said, isn't that late? That's a little late. It keeps the crowds around here. 9 o'clock is nice. We need you all to close at 9 o'clock. That's the mayor saying that now. Now, I just have a hard time believing that if businesses close at 9 o'clock, that would solve Baltimore's crime problem. You know what I mean? But again, they have to try something. And if they can order businesses around and do that, then they're happy to do it. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. Why not 9:30? Now, 9 o'clock. I just decided. I'm the mayor. I just decided 9 o'clock. And Chicago, what they're doing over there is they're trying to pay down its debt by impounding innocent people's cars. See, Chicago's got a lot of debt because lefty cities wind up spending too much money. I know it's a thing. I know it's a thing. Utopia is not cheap, kids. Chicago is trying to pay down its debt by impounding innocent people's cars. This is from my favorite libertarian site, Reason.com. A uniquely punitive city impound program combined with a drug war and asset forfeiture has now causing people to lose their own cars. What the city does is they take these cars by going around and they scan license plates and then they just start impounding them. And if you don't have cash, they start racking up the storage fees. And you have to get the car, even if you're innocent, you got to pay the storage fees. And if you don't have it, they keep racking up and racking up until eventually it's in the thousands of dollars and they just wind up keeping the car. And by the way, I respect this tactic when the mafia does it. But when government does it, I go, my God, this is a violation of liberty. But isn't that sort of like a mafia tactic? I will take your car. You've done nothing wrong, but you got to pay me to get it back. And if you don't pay me, the VIG keeps going up. But I didn't do anything. That doesn't matter. You got to pay me a storage fee. But you took my car. Yeah, well, now I'm storing your car. Look at it like that. It's all about interpretation, my friend. You say I'm holding your car. I say I'm protecting your car in a secure storage lot. And for that, you got to pay me $300 a day. I don't have it. Well, that's okay. I'm not going anywhere. But the fines keep, the storage fees keep going up and up and up until one day I just take the damn car. I love it. I mean, it's government can do this. Chicago issued more vehicle violations per adult in 2016 than New York City or Los Angeles. They raised $264 million in the process, which then leads to license suspensions for unpaid fines and compliance violations. That in turn creates another layer of fines, where then Chicago imposed an additional $10.7 million in impound fines over the past 12 months for driving on suspended licenses, according to data. That number doesn't include impound storage fees, which can sometimes far exceed the total fine. In one case, a defense attorney shows a defendant had racked up nearly, ready? $16,000 in storage fees by the time her case was finally decided. Now, that's more expensive than most cars, right? So, I mean, at some point, you just go, screw it, I'll just buy a new car. And then they take your car and they sell it. I love how government gets away with this kind of stuff. Anyway, it's the old school, I gotta wet my beak. So, wait a minute, you mean you took my car, you're holding my car in an impound lot, I got to go to a judge to get it back. In the meantime, the fines keep ticking up. Unless I can pay you in cash, I can't get my car back? No. And then what's the total that I owe you right now? 16 grand. I can just go buy a new car for 16 grand. Well, that's the idea. Make sure that we don't come after that car too, because then you'll have two cars, and that's like 32 grand. See what I did on math right there? And then we have to look around and we say to ourselves, well, gee, I guess we want more government. Why not? Let's have more government. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, 855-839-1210, #1210 on a cell. And then I have for you a little bit of this. If you are a Simpsons fan, you know that there's a character on that show named Apu, who over the years owned a convenience store, probably, you don't know which state, Springfield in The Simpsons. You never know which Springfield it is, right? Whether it's New Jersey or Illinois or is every state pretty much has a Springfield, I think, right? That's kind of the point. So you don't ever really know where it is. But Hank Azaria, who's the actor who played Apu all these years, Apu would be described as your typical, stereotypical, Joe Biden would love this guy kind of a convenience store owner. right?
I have a little clip of a poo just
Thank you,
to,
Greg. Yes.
You know, so people know.
Please don't knock the land that I love. Jury duty. Oh, today I am truly an American citizen. I don't want to live anymore.
Oh, give me that wiener.
Oh, I don't want to live here.
Give me that wiener.
There's... All right. Now, if you remember the time that Joe Biden was campaigning and he went into a convenience store and said, you can't walk into a convenience store without finding an Indian. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
In fact, do you have that audio? Is that possible to pull that up?
I'm sure I can grab it for you.
In our archives. One of my favorite things. Well, anyway, The Simpsons did a little thing where they were apologizing for a poo, but it was a tongue-in-cheek apology because The Simpsons has always been an anti-politically correct show. The problem is that we live in a world now that has lost its freaking mind. So everybody is a trigger and triggered by something and emotionally fragile. And I thought The Simpsons was going to be one of the last few shows where they were not going to fall prey to this stuff. They were not going to let the PC police. Even years ago, by the way, one of the shows that you would think would not fall prey to this, South Park, even they fell under the PC police when they did a thing on Muhammad. And wound up covering up Muhammad's image on the show. Yes. But I always thought The Simpsons would rise above falling prey to the PC police. But nevertheless, Hank Azaria went on the Stephen Colbert show. Stephen, of course, being a very, very solid lefty. And he prayed for mercy. He begged for mercy from the crowd of lefties in the audience for his sin of making a joke. Cut one.
Do you understand why some Indian American or South Asian American?
Can you understand what a smug jerk you sound like right now? Can you understand that? Isn't this the guy who suggested that Trump was with Putin? Isn't that the same guy?
Yeah.
Who made a homophobic joke about the president and Vladimir Putin.
Yes.
So can you understand how some gay people were offended by your homophobic joke about the president and Vladimir Putin? I these people, this is what I mean. They cannot take a joke. Stephen Colbert is a comedian. That's the other point. Not really, but he's a guy that has been in comedy. And the whole point of comedy is sometimes you offend people. Nobody has to watch The Simpsons. Last time I checked, Indian Americans are not forced into concentration camps like Japanese people were under Roosevelt and forced to watch this show. It's optional. All right, please continue.
Do you understand why some
Indian American
actors are offended by that character?
Actors are offended.
Yeah, not just actors. Of course I understand. I mean, it's come to my attention... More and more, especially the last couple of years, as you say, that people in the in the South Asian community in this country have been fairly upset by the voice and characterization.
Did that surprise you?
Of Apu? Not over time. It did when I first heard about it. Absolutely. And it's sparked a lot of conversation about what should be done with the character going forward.
Kill him and yourself on national television.
I've tried to express this before.
Sacrifice yourself.
You know, the idea that anybody was young or old, past or present, was bullied or teased
on the character We're done.
It just really makes me sad.
We're done.
It was certainly not my intention. I wanted to spread laughter and joy with this character. And the idea that it's, you know, brought pain and suffering in any way. That it was used to marginalize people. It's just, it's upsetting, genuinely.
What do you think should happen with the character going
Behead
forward?
Him!
Yeah, I've given this a lot
Take a sword
of thought,
like really a samurai. A
and as I say, my eyes have been open.
Oh, God.
And I think the most
important thing
is we have to listen to South Asian people, Indian people in this country.
South Asian people.
And they talk about what they feel and how they think
they can still make fun of
about
Italians,
this character,
though,
what their American experience of it has been. And as you know, in television terms, listening to voices means inclusion in the writer's room. I really want to see Indian, South Asian writers in the room, not in a token way, but
right.
genuinely informing.
Whether they're funny or not, let's just have them in the room to write. Why not?
Yes. How it is voiced or not voiced.
Right.
You know, I'm perfectly willing and happy to step aside or help transition it into something new. I really hope that
turn it into a feel good show.
It just,
the Simpsons should be a feel good show.
It just feels like the right thing to do to me.
Yeah. Woo! Now the cheering of the clapping seals. Yes. Yes, yes. Did he sufficiently behead himself on national television at the altar of the left? Wait, why does he parade around and we just hear shame, shame, shame?
It's so
this
bad.
is we And Nick DiPaolo was fired from SiriusXM because he made a joke on a tweet. This is what I mean. We are at a place in this country. I said this in the 4 o'clock hour. Will there be hate speech? People, you get locked up for your damn right. It'll be the censorship. It'll be the scrubbing of all this. And then the first time some South Asian, what is it now? Southeastern Asian, whatever person comes and says that they were bullied, then Hank Azaria should be put in prison.
Shame.
Right. Thank
Shame.
You. Exactly. Shame. But if you are a former Port Authority commissioner who curses out a Port Authority cop, however, now that's actually celebrated, especially if you're a former Obama employee. Oh, hey, by the way, did you see the Arizona special election? Big win by Democrats in Arizona's 8th. Big win. Wait a second here. I'm sorry. Let me just, I don't usually prep for the show. Let me, hang on. Damn it, Greg. You have one job. Wait a second. A Republican won. Wait. Debbie Lesko. Debbie Lesko won. Republican Debbie Lesko won. Well, anyway, CNN Politics spun it like this. Ready? Why the win for Republicans in Arizona 8 is still good for Democrats. Analysis by CNN's Henry Enten. Yes, Henry, enlighten us, please. Why a loss is still good news for the Democrats. Please enlighten us. You almost won, and you got a trophy, a participation trophy, and that's really what the Democrats need right now, more trophies. So it's a district where President Trump won by a 25-point margin. Mitt Romney won by a 21-point margin. Their argument is Lesko should have delivered a wider margin of victory, and because she didn't, it's like a loss. You get it? It's like a loss, basically. So, really, she lost even though she won and will become a member of the United States House of Representatives. She really, really lost, truly lost. You know what I mean? So, you won? Not really, because you really lost. But I'm a member of Congress. Well, yeah, but really not, really, truly, deep down inside. She only won by not enough, in their mind, to say that.
It's 52.6% she won by, right? And he had 42 point whatever.
Yeah, that's not enough.
That's
Dawn,
not
you
slim,
see.
Is it? Is
that... Well, I mean, I don't think so, but I'm
a
math guy.
Margin.
That's like, what's it? 42. What is it now? She won by what?
She had 52.6%.
Okay.
And he had 47.4%.
It's like,
Please be patient as Rick Cioli. Attempts to do math.
Yeah, this is triggering towards kids with dyscalculia, by the way.
What is dyscalculia?
I'm going to use that
when
my kids ask me
that?
To do math.
So
mom
you have dyscalculia.
I was diagnosed with a learning difference. Dyscalculia? Have you ever heard? What do you say?
Dyscalculia.
Calcula.
It's like dyslexia, but with math.
Dyscalculia.
Dyscalculia.
Yeah.
I think it's a real thing. It's probably a real thing.
Yeah.
It should be a real thing.
That's our story, and we're sticking with it.
And if it is a real thing, I definitely have it, by the way. So CNN Politics, only CNN could spin it this way. Why the win for Republicans in Arizona 8 is still good for Democrats. Well, thank you, CNN. That's excellent political analysis. I tell you what, that's why they are number three in cable news.
It's amazing.
You know, and that's, it really shows me, I'm old. It's my problem, Dawn. You know what my problem is? I'm from a time in politics where winning the race meant winning the race. And you see, now that's a totally different way. You got to not look at things that way anymore. You see what I mean? So
we should do that in sports.
Right. Yeah.
You know. Like say that the so-and-so, the Sixers, you know.
Almost. They almost. They, you know. They could have. Yeah, like why the Eagles win is bad news for the Eagles. It's great news for the Patriots. Yeah. Really, when you really break it down.
Really, the Patriots won.
The Patriots
right?
won that yeah. game. So when you really do the analysis here, you understand. All right, let's see now.
It's the best.
You know what it is, too? It's actually, to bring an analogy to kids, right? And my kids aren't old enough yet, but when they start to play sports, I'm sure yours are, mm-hmm. and they do lose, parents can do one of two things. They can say, suck it up, try harder, or they can do, but you really won because you played the game, right?
If you do that, and I, you know me, I tried that.
I know you did.
Okay. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Like, I even tried, get like, you go and you buy everybody the little medallion, put around their neck. It doesn't
Did you really do that?
Yeah.
Of course you did. Why am I asking
when
that
they're
question?
Young, because you think, oh, they're little kids.
Is this water wet?
Because it's for the children.
You're all winners.
But you learn as a parent, like, you learn when your kids are really little, they're like, Mom, we sucked. You don't want, you know, they'll just throw it.
They don't want your dumb medallion,
they
Mom.
They don't.
Because they know losers, the
score.
All right?
Parents who try not to keep score, they all know that every kid knows the score. It doesn't matter the sport.
Because we're programmed to be winners and losers.
It's a primitive
it's just the reality.
Instinct.
Exactly. The losers were eaten by tigers or clubbed by a guy with a club. And that's just how it works. And now we're trying to change all that by everybody's a winner if you just played. You just got to play.
So bad.
All right. Now, so that leads us to the Port Authority, former Port Authority commissioner here. Let me explain how this works for you. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which my dad is a retired lieutenant of the Port Authority Police. It's a bi-state commission, which is the biggest thing Congress created. It's nonsense. The Delaware Port Authority is the same thing, and I think there's like 18 bridge commissions up and down the Delaware River on this side. On the New York side, it's the Port Authority, and they have commissioners. And the commissioners have a lot of power, and many of these entities have police departments, Port Authority Police being one of them. So this commissioner gets pulled over by the Port Authority Police Department, and I have to tell you, I grew up around these guys, and I've always found them to be terrific people, but I'm a little biased because, you know, when you grow up around cops, you tend to have a certain way around them. And this Port Authority commissioner, now ex, an ex-Clinton aide, she flashed her golden badge during a traffic stop and telling cops that they ruined her holiday here. So now she was on a Bergen County road. This was the Tenafly Police Department, not the Port Authority Police Department, but it was the Tenafly Police Department. I don't know that police department. It's a North Jersey police department. I don't know it. But they were smart enough to have something called an audio listening recording device. I don't know if this is new with cops. They put cameras in cars. This police department may be very advanced, is my point.
One correction. It was her daughter who was pulled over. She showed up. She was in a car. She was in a car that was going to be impounded.
So her daughter's pulled over.
Yes.
Okay. And the commissioner, Karen Turner, who was commissioner for the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, 60 years old, a Democrat Party lobbyist. She shows up at the scene then?
Yes.
Tries to use her power and her badge to get out of this, right? Now, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey did an investigation, and they determined that she should be fired. She also previously served on the Finance Committee for Hillary Clinton.
Oh, boy.
All right? Now, we have the audio here. We have to, I assume this is bleeped or whatever.
It's beeped. It's a dash cam video, so it's not the easiest to hear. And in full disclosure, this is an 8-minute video, but for time, I trimmed it down to about 2.5 minutes.
All right. Now, listen, kids, try this when you get pulled over. It works every time. Trust me on this.
This is the receipt. This goes on file.
Hi, I'm Karen Turner. Hi, I'm a resident. There you go.
It's fine. I don't need that.
Okay, fine. I'm Karen
Turner. You're just here as the rider, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Now stop it, right? So she goes, I'm Karen Turner, and she's trying to give her little gold little flashy badge there, okay? Her little golden badge. And the cop goes, I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm good.
What is this?
Like, I don't need that. You know what I mean?
These cops are saints.
Right. I mean, because that's why I can't be a police officer. I'd be like, oh, is this is my billy club. Like, shut up. I'm working here, you know? I could never be a cop. I have no patience for this stuff. All right, so I'm Karen Turner, as if the guy goes, and I give a damn about that? Like, why would I care who you are? I don't know who that is. Should I Google you on the side of the road as I'm in the middle of a traffic stop with your daughter? Should I Google you? All right, keep going here.
Citizen and friend of the mayor.
I'm friend of the mayor. Yes. I am friend of the mayor. The mayor's my friend.
Oh, my God.
By the way, it was her daughter's friend who was pulled over. It wasn't even her daughter. Her daughter's friend. That's the arrogance of this woman, where she thinks, I'm friends of the mayor. I'm Karen Turner. Everybody knows me. Here's my little badge.
Karen Turner.
I'm Karen Turner. This cop is a saint. I mean, he really is. All right, keep going.
20 years, I take full responsibility for them. And what is the reason they were pulled over?
The driver has all the information. He'll tell you.
No. I need to know.
No, you don't need to know.
Okay.
We're not involved here. You're picking them up.
No. I'm involved. Trust me.
Well,
I'm
not going
involved.
To tell you. He's the driver of the automobile. He's over 18. That's all you need to know.
I am the commissioner of the Port Authority, and I'm heading up over 4,000.
Oh!
So, if there's a problem, I think I have...
There's no problem.
Well, I think...
All right, now stop it now. It's important to understand this is the Tenafly Police Department, not the Port Authority Police. Like, it would matter. But my point is that she tries to pull the, I'm a commissioner on the Port Authority, which is so BS. It's like being on the board of directors or something. I oversee 4,000 cops. No, you don't. The Port Authority chief oversees 4,000 cops. Anyway, the cop goes, so? Like, he's like, so what? Like, what do I care about? Like, this is so glorious. All right, keep going.
There's no problem.
Well, I think there's a problem.
It's an unregistered vehicle.
Okay, let's hear, why were they pulled over, first of all?
Miss.
Now, don't call me miss. I'm commissioner. Thank you.
Oh! Whoa!
Oh, the queen!
Yeah, you sit down, you! You cop, you! You shall address me as commissioner! Her Royal Majesty, the commissioner, Karen Turner! In fact, I would like you to throw rose petals down for me! How dare you! Do not look me in the eye! Do not look me in the eye!
Wow.
Do not look me in the eye. That's commissioner to you. Wow, these people are amazing to me. These elitist jerks are amazing to me. This cop has great restraint.
Yes.
Tremendous restraint, by the way. Because I would be like, commissioner? Okay, Commissioner Gordon. Well, I'm the Joker, and I'm not really happy tonight. Call your friend Batman and get him down here, Commissioner.
Commissioner, here's my taser.
Yeah. Oh, Commissioner? Well, why don't you pull out your little bat signal and see if your buddy can help you out, Commissioner? I would have had so much fun with that Commissioner. All right, keep going.
I rewound it a little bit. Oh.
I think I have...
There's no problem.
Well, I think there's a problem.
It's an unregistered vehicle.
Okay, let's hear... Why were they pulled over, first of all?
Miss.
Now, don't call me miss. I'm commissioner. Thank you.
Commissioner?
Yes.
All due
respect. Why were they pulled over?
All due respect.
Yep.
Why the driver with us.
No. I need
yes,
to know.
The car's getting towed now.
Why is the car getting pulled?
Go ask him.
No. I'm asking. You're the person who ordered it. And trust me.
Miss, this does not involve you. 1%.
Yeah, it does. It does, because I'm picking them up, and I'm offering to take responsibility for them, and you can't even tell me the charges. I'm also an attorney, so I think if you can't tell me, what is the charge? Why is it such a difficult to just say why they're being pulled over and why the car's being towed?
There is no, you have no right
to
know what's going on.
No, I do.
Explain to me why.
Because these are four people that I have to take responsibility.
Why do you have to take responsibility? They're all adults.
That's my daughter.
And she has she's a backseat passenger.
And there's a problem with you describing it because you don't feel confident. Why these people are being pulled over.
Your daughter has not been summoned. A little bit dangerous for us being out here as long as we were
anyway.
Thank
you for your concern with my safety.
Okay.
I don't need it. You can't put a sentence together? Sorry.
Okay.
That's pathetic.
Okay.
And you are a disappointment. And you are just following him. So you are also a disappointment.
Okay.
You can't put together a sentence of what the problem is.
Are you finished now? Are you finished, ma'am?
I'm shocked. Shocked and very disappointed.
You may take them now.
You may not tell me when to take my child. You may shut the and not tell me when I may take my kids and her friends, who are PhD students from MIT and Yale.
Okay.
You may tell me nothing because you told me nothing. Shame on both of you.
See, that's how I would have handled the situation.
Stop.
I would have been like, all right, this is enough. Like, I think society, we can all agree.
Commissioner Bullitt.
Is it police brutality? Yeah. But, really, she had it coming here, so... amazing restraint by those two officers of the Tenafly Police Department.
And that's an 8-minute video that was chopped down to 2.5
minutes. Well done. So they put up with that crap for 8 minutes is the point. Well done. Well done, boys.
And you
may shut the F up. You may shut... I'm very disappointed. Yeah, hey. You may shut the F up. It's what you may do.
Oh, man.
Well, there's an implication there because obviously they said it was an unregistered vehicle.
They did.
So they said what it was. She just wanted to hear them say something else.
Yeah, something else. And then when they tried, she went, "You may shut the F up," is what you may do. All right?
Oh, my God.
All right? Well, listen, I hope you enjoyed that. We will post a link to that on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Zioli Show. So the outrageous handling of Dr. Ronny Jackson. I opened the show with this today. I spent a good half hour on it, and you should listen to the podcast. Subscribe to our podcast, by the way, at iTunes, if you would be so kind. You'll get them automatically, and then you can also rate the show if you like. We'd appreciate that very much. But, look, I'll sum it up for you. The notion, it doesn't add up. The idea that this guy, according to the allegations, while he was Obama's primary physician, chief physician of the president of the United States, was handing out pills left and right, was getting so drunk he'd pass out, it doesn't add up. And anybody with a brain would say that somebody in the president's inner circle would say, you know what? Can't have this guy around the president. He's a disaster. He's a drunk and he's a disaster. What the real story about Ronny Jackson is this. The man is a rear admiral. He's distinguished. And they want him gone because he is just one more person they can destroy. The left loves to destroy people. And this is a guy they can destroy to distract from what has been a very, very good week for the president with regards to France, the state visit, all of it. Now, I want to share with you, and I like I said, I went into greater detail on this at the beginning of the show, but Dr. Ronny Jackson, the same guy who's now apparently this drunk who would fall down on the job, and when in Air Force One, he was a pill pusher to go up and down the aisle. Well, we have the audio of the allegations by this idiot senator who makes allegations to Anderson Cooper, can't back any of this up, doesn't give any facts, this John Tester. He claims to not know the prescription drugs, and the minute Anderson suggests them, he goes, oh, yeah, that's it, that's it. Take a listen to some of this. Cut five.
I understand there are three major allegations, and I kind of want to go through them one by one. First of all, the idea that the allegation that he improperly dispensed prescription drugs. Do you know what drugs were dispensed?
Yeah, I can't tell you exactly the name because I'm not a pharmacist, but these are drugs that are meant to put people to sleep and wake them back up. They're controlled substances. They're prescriptions. The word is that on overseas trips in particular, that Admiral would go down the aisleway of the airplane and say, all right, who wants to go to sleep, and hand out the prescription drugs.
So you're talking about something like an Ambien type?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And put them to sleep and then give them the drugs to wake them back up again.
The wake-up drugs you're talking about, I assume, is something like Provigil.
That's correct.
Which is officially for narcolepsy. It works on dopamine.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you know, these are called controlled substances for a reason. We have...
So he would actually just go down the aisle and just sort of say,
that's correct.
Who wants to go to sleep, who wants to wake up?
That's the reports we got from the people, the 20-some people who got a hold of us and said, we've got a problem, this doctor has a problem, because he hands out prescriptions like candy. In fact, in the White House, they call him the Candy Man.
So I just want to be clear, Ambien is actually one of the drugs?
I can get you the, you know, okay. It's a drug. It's a prescription drug, and I can get you the name.
Your staff had told us Ambien, right? And yep. Provigil.
Bingo. Okay. Those are the ones.
All right. And I understand he had a nickname in the White House of the White House staff.
And it was the Candy Man because he handed out prescription drugs like they were candy.
Right. He also apparently got so drunk on Air Force One, he would pass out. And then when we get to the trips, he would bang on staffers' doors. He's the chief doctor for the president of the United States of America. And none of this was a problem when Obama was president. None of this. Nobody bothered to bring this forward. Nobody bothered to mention this to anybody. Nobody had a problem with it while he was Obama's chief physician. Now, ask yourself this question. Do you really believe that? Or do you think this is all now being made up to smear the guy? Ask yourself this. What is likelier in your book, knowing how nobody can keep a secret in Washington, that unbeknownst to Obama, his chief doctor was going up and down the aisles offering Ambien and Provigil like it was candy, and then he get hammered on the plane, even though he's there to save the life of the president if necessary. He gets so drunk, he pass out, and then he gets to places and be drunk and banging on staffers' doors, and nobody thought it was a problem, and nobody thought to say anything to anybody. No one in the press, who's also on Air Force One, by the way. You know, the media rides Air Force One. Do people act as if we don't know this? When the press corps travels with the president, they fly on Air Force One. They don't fly commercial. I mean, some members of the press do, but the press corps that follows him, they fly in Air Force One. So nobody in the media, in the 8 years Obama was president and Ronnie Jackson was his personal physician, nobody thought it was worthy of a story about him going up and down the aisles offering Ambien and Provigil to people. Nobody in the press knew about this. Nobody in the press saw this guy passed out like a staggering drunk on Air Force One. Nobody in the media got wind of this for 8 years. Or they saw it happening and they thought, well, it's okay, it's Obama's guy. What's the big deal? Party! In fact, they joined in on it. Nobody in the media heard allegations over 8 years of him getting so drunk and belligerent he would bang on staffers' doors. I assume women. I assume in the middle of the night. Nobody thought this was worthy of a story or a mention or bringing it to the chief of staff's attention. David Axelrod didn't have a problem with it. Nobody did. For 8 years. We're supposed to believe this now. The guy who's there to save the life of the president of the United States, should something happen to the president of the United States, the guy who's there, the chief physician of the president of the United States, drunk, passing out, handing out pills for 8 years on the plane with the traveling press corps, and nobody saw a thing. But now it all comes to light. Now that he's Trump's guy, now that he's Trump's nominee for the VA, to be the VA secretary, now suddenly all of this is coming to light. And suddenly now, so I guess the question then also becomes, was President Obama lying when he said in October of 2016, Ronnie does a great job, genuine enthusiasm, poised under pressure, incredible work ethic and follow through. Ronnie continues to inspire confidence with the care he provides to me, my family and my team. Continue to promote ahead of peers. Was that because Obama likes the fact that his personal physician would get so drunk he'd pass out on the plane and hand out pills? Is it because nobody told the president this was going on? Nobody? Or is it because all of these allegations are pure and utter bullcrap? Ask yourself that question. When Obama said in 2014 about Ronnie Jackson, a most impressive leader who continues to perform at the flag officer level, Ronnie has earned my confidence and the gratitude of my family for his diligence and knowledge. Promote to flag immediately. And when he said, Ronnie's positive impact cannot be overstated. He is a tremendous asset to the entire White House team, already at a level of performance and responsibility that far exceeds its current rank. Promote to Rear Admiral now. So he's getting blackout drunk, late night disturbances pounding on staffers' doors, handing out prescription drugs like he's the candy man, and nobody knew. The president didn't know. He just kept touting this guy as being amazing. And nobody bothered to tell him, Mr. President, he's actually a staggering drunk. He's actually harassing women. He's actually pushing pills. We call him, in fact, the candy man. Or are all these allegations pure and utter BS? So which is it? And it's damn shameful that President Obama has not come out and defended his former chief physician. It's shameful, and it tells you a lot about the man's character or lack thereof. All right. So in the next few moments that we have together, I think we've covered quite a bit today on the show, but we have not talked about the fact that, let's see now, The View has weighed in on Ronnie Jackson. So Joy Behar has weighed in on Ronnie Jackson, Rear Admiral, of course, and she has now given her opinion on this. Yesterday, Joe Scarborough referred to him as Hitler's doctor. Remember that? Now, Joy Behar has also offered her expertise on Dr. Ronnie Jackson. Cut nine.
You know, background check before nominating him, but but why is it just coming out now? I mean, it's kind of crazy.
What, wasn't he drunk the day that he said that Trump is a perfect specimen? It must have been.
I don't know. But it's just, it seems
well, it's just concerning for a lot of reasons, because he had been the president's doctor for three terms, and yeah. I don't think any president's doctor should be handing out pills in the way that he's being accused of doing, if that is in fact true.
So then maybe he wasn't doing any of those things for three terms. It is a logical conclusion I could offer. Was he that way? He was a hammered when he said he's a perfect specimen. Because look at me. I'm a perfect specimen. Joy Behar. And then this is amazing, too. Ronan Farrow. So he goes on a show on ABC with unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. And you know, it's very, very sad what happened. So George Stephanopoulos in the 1990s was a very, very big political operative. He ran campaigns for the House Democrats and Dick Gephardt. And then he was approached to join the Clinton campaign after his first choice, Paul Tsongas, got out of the race. It was a Greek thing, you know, Stephanopoulos, Tsongas. So he joins the Clinton campaign, winds up becoming the communications director of the campaign, helps Bill Clinton get elected after intimidating journalists and Democrats and silencing women who had allegations against the governor. Then becomes the White House communications director and the press secretary, and for years defends Bill Clinton on national television and press and media. A diehard Democrat, a big believer in liberal policies and ideas, a guy who went to war daily with Republicans, going after Newt Gingrich and saying the contract with America was the contract on America. As partisan as you get. That George Stephanopoulos was killed in a tragic fridge accident when a fridge that I was returning to Lowe's back in the 1990s fell on him and crushed him.
So sad.
So sad. This George Stephanopoulos is no relation to that George Stephanopoulos. He was reincarnated, if you will, as the unbiased journalist, because there's no way ABC News would name their top political guy that same guy who I first described. That guy, as I mentioned, was killed in a tragic bear accident when a bear he was hunting wound up punching him in the face because he's 4'8" and then eating him. So now unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos sits down with Ronan Farrow as he talks about how Hillary Clinton tried to cancel an interview on him. Ronan Farrow is on MSNBC and he writes also for The New Yorker. And this is pretty interesting now how much George Stephanopoulos delves into this. When the allegation is made by Ronan Farrow, he really, I mean, truly, in an unbiased journalist kind of way, I mean, he brings it. Take a listen.
You also spoke with every living Secretary of State. What surprised you most about those conversations?
A lot of things. You know, the level of candor from everyone, from Colin Powell, who said we're ripping the guts out of the State Department, we're mortgaging your future, to Rex Tillerson, who gave a lot of access. I mean, the honest answer is one of the most surprising beats was how hard it was to get some people on the record. Hillary Clinton had scheduled an interview while I was at the height of the Weinstein reporting, and her folks got in touch and said, we hear you're working on a big story, sounded very concerned, and tried to cancel that interview.
Over the Weinstein stuff?
Over the Weinstein stuff.
Oh, I'm surprised at that. You also write surprising. About something that a personal experience that happened to you that illustrates the broader problem recruited by...
I'm surprised by that. So, you like Chinese? I'm a big fan of... tough to get good takeout, though, am I right?
Wow.
You know, I sometimes find I'm craving an egg roll on the drive home, and I what do you do? Do you go to P.F. Chang's, or do you,
oh my God.
You ever make it at home? Do you find that it doesn't heat up well?
Oh, man.
Leftovers?
Right out of Journalism 101, right. Interviewing, objective interviewing.
Move on.
I'm surprised by that. Do you ever fish? Because I got, you know, I'm trying to eat more fish. My wife says to eat more fish, but I don't like tilapia. It's a bottom feeder, and I get freaked out by it, quite frankly. So, all right.
Now, Clinton had scheduled an interview while I was at the height of the Weinstein reporting, and her folks got in touch and said, we hear you're working on a big story, sounded very concerned, and tried to cancel that interview.
Over the Weinstein stuff?
Over the Weinstein stuff.
Oh, I'm surprised at that. You also write surprising. About something that a person...
You also write about good luck charms. And, you know, like in horse racing, do you think jockeys should ever wash their clothes after they win a race? Because I got to be honest with you. I was going to be a jockey once because I'm like 4'2". And I thought about it. I'd never be able to wash my clothes. Did you ever think about that?
Wow.
Before he's like, remember Chris Farley used to do that bit in Saturday Live when he'd do the worst interviewer ever and he go, that's awesome, that's totally awesome.
Remember when you were in the Beatles?
Yeah, remember when you were in the Beatles? Yeah, that was awesome. That was totally awesome. That's unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. I'm surprised by that. So did you ever you ever go horseback riding? I love horses. I think they're so fun. They're just like big and cuddly, but then I'm like, am I being mean to them by riding them? That is one of the greatest clips in the history of unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, and there's a lot of them.
Over the Weinstein stuff.
Over the Weinstein stuff.
Oh, I'm surprised at that. You also write about something that a personal experience that happened.
Shark. Yeah, like he literally started to distract me. With my, oh man, all right. So the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. Never
if you don't fail me now, I'm out of here.
Fire! I got... All right.
Oh, look at that. We're out of time.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, man.
All right. Now, I got an email this morning from somebody who said they cannot hear Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey without hearing me do Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey.
I know.
And he was on Morning Joe this morning. But we're out of time, so I'll have to save this for tomorrow. So we'll put that on tomorrow. But he was on discussing his first 100 days with the Morning Joe crew. So I'll do that tomorrow. And he also defended his wife's $13,000 door. Remember the door? It cost $13,000. I still can't figure that out. He defended that a little bit. We'll have to save that for tomorrow as well, because as this show goes in a million directions, we wind up running out of time. Have you ever like go to the circus with your kids? I like the circus. But ever since I get rid of the elephants, I don't know. I'm just a little bit like, you know, oh my God. I'm surprised by that. Oh no, I killed the mic. The segment's over. Ronan, sorry, I forgot to tell you that. I gave them the sign in the control booth. They went right to commercial. No. We're good. We're good. We're just hanging out now.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a commercial break, Ronan. Don't worry about it. Okay.
Can you imagine if that was like...
It's the greatest. Just the best.
Kellyanne Conway or something.
All right, let's do it. We're out of time.
Who won Twitter?
Brought to you by the Lawn Doctors. Rich, I'm going to give it to Peter Armstrong. He says, hey, Rich, reporting live outside the journalist concentration camp here. Just had a busload of Indian Americans come through. They'll be joining the journalists in captivity. Reports indicate that Sideshow Bob was driving the bus. So
well done.
If you missed
that was done.
It's podcasted for you. Thank you, Lawn Doctor.
Rich Cioli, 3 to 6. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.